Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita. This is chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute. And this is text 24. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. Comment. Krishna just described demigod worshippers as possessing small intelligence. And here he labels the impersonalists abhudaya, even less intelligent. Abhudaya can also be translated as possessing no intelligence. Srila Prabhupada systematically reveals their misconceptions in his lengthy purport. If Krishna and his form, characteristics, abode, and worshippers are all eternal, why can't he be seen? Why can't impersonalists, who are detached from matter, and are therefore also transcendentalists, why can't they see him? Text 25. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Comment. Because of the impersonalist's foolishness, Krishna covers them with his Maya potency. They can thus neither see nor understand him. Does that covering work both ways? Does Maya also prevent Krishna from knowing them, as a closed stage curtain simultaneously blocks the audience's vision of the actors and the actor's vision of the audience? 26. O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me, no one knows. Srila Baladev Vidyabhusan poses a question. This is the comment. If a living entity can be covered by Maya and fall into ignorance, can this also happen to Krishna? No, he answers. Maya is inferior to Krishna and is controlled by Krishna's prowess. She carries out his orders from afar and cannot affect him. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura explains Krishna's words. Quote, Maya has no power to bewilder her own shelter. Therefore, neither the external Maya nor the internal Yoga Maya can ever cover my awareness. And no one knows me completely, no materialistic or transcendental person, such as Maharudra or anyone else, even the most omniscient person. That is because either Maya or Yoga Maya, as is appropriate in each individual case, is always covering everyone's awareness. The end of the citation from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura. The comment continues. Mam tu Veda na kaschana signifies that one who truly knows Krishna is very rare. In the next four verses, Krishna describes how and when the living entities become covered by Maya. He also explains how they can become free from Maya. 27. All Sayan of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arising from desire and hate. Comment. From the beginning of creation, the conditioned living entities are born into the illusory world of duality, desire and hate. Thus they desire, icha, one set of sense objects, and are repulsed, dvesha, by another set. And they are capable of being repulsed by objects to which they were attracted only moments before. At times they are repulsed by thoughts of a supreme who is beyond themselves. Srila Prabhupada says, quote, such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in delusion symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc. Thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. End quote. This point further reveals the rarity of the Jnani, because, as described in text 16 through 19, Jnanis are beyond being fooled by dualities of happiness and distress, male and female, and so on. One may ask, after hearing text 27, whether anyone is in fact capable of overcoming illusion and becoming a devotee. 28. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, Krishna says, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Comment. Pious persons are qualified to take to devotional service, not exactly because of their piety, but because their piety attracts a pure devotee's mercy. It is the mercy of the Lord's devotee and nothing else that destroys sins and establishes faith in bhakti. Thus, it is the bhakti's business to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. Srila Prabhupada writes, all the devotees of the Lord traverse the earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. Srila Baladevidya Bhusan's comment points directly to the unique magnanimous contribution of Srila Prabhupada. Quote, but do we ever find devotion for you in anyone? It seems that this would not be the case, judging by your statement that all beings in creation are born into delusion. This is answered. Those living beings who have received the merciful glance of the topmost pure souls will have all their sinful reactions destroyed. As stated in Shruti, the personal servants of Lord Vishnu wander this world to purify the conditioned souls. What characteristics are found in those who receive such mercy? This is answered by the phrase punya karmanam. Their activity of taking the darshan of great souls is punya, attractive or charming. Becoming firmly fixed in their vows and gaining determination by virtue of the association of great souls, they are freed from the duality of the delusion of duality. Coming to understand the truth about me, they engage in worshipping me. That was the end of Baladevidya Bhusan's comment. And our comment continues. How munificent then was Srila Prabhupada? He so widely cast his purifying glance that it fell upon even the impious and those engaged in most unfortunate works, and thus he created their punya karmanam. Another kind of devotee, one with mixed intentions, is described next. Intelligent persons, it's text 29. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. Comment. Here, Krishna describes a fourth kind of sakam devotee, one whose devotion is mixed with the desire for liberation from the cycle of birth and death. His position will be further discussed in chapter 8. Such a devotee is Brahman and knows everything about adhyatma, the self or jiva, and karma, activities. Those three terms will also be explained in chapter 8. Along with three more terms mentioned in the next verse. 30, and this is the final text in the seventh chapter. Those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. Comment. Three additional concepts are mentioned, Adibhuta, Adidaiva, and Adiyagya. Arjuna will ask about their meanings at the beginning of the next chapter. By naming himself as the governing principle behind the material manifestation, the demigods, and acts of sacrifice, Krishna directs the knowledge, desires, and service of many classes of individuals towards his lotus feet. The benefit of that, and this has special significance to Arjuna because he is standing on a battlefield about to fight, is that one with this consciousness can know Krishna at the time of death. So that is the end of the seventh chapter, Knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Hare Krishna.